Oh yeah.
It's the Fantasy Tactics Show by KFFSC and All Purpose Roto.
Heyo, that's right, it's the Fantasy Football Tactics Show, and yes, it's the first episode of the year with the crazy folks from the KFFFC, brought to you by All Purpose Roto. We are excited to be here tonight. We will be talking about NFC free agency. We're looking forward to it. Kind of going through in a quick summary so you can hear everything about what's gone on in the NFL during this crazy first quarter of the year. It's been fast-paced. It's been quick. And it's been significant. Some relatively significant signings have occurred. There are players of fantasy value that for sure will have big impacts this year on their new homes. So we're very excited to talk about that. Every Tuesday, we will bring you Fantasy Football Tactics. It's a fantasy show powered by the advice, strategy, and tactics from experts who play in all of the majors throughout the land, folks. We are fortunate enough to get guests from, of course, the KFFFC, folks from the FFPC, NFFFC, everything out in Vegas, ESPN, the Southern Bluegrass League, CBS, everything out there. So we have something for you no matter where you are. Your small basement leagues, national leagues, whatever you're going to do, we will be there to help you out. And we're going to be here every Tuesday. Farrell will get some of these experts out there. We'll talk about reactions to news, reactions to signings, and then, of course, we get closer to the season. We move through the draft season. We'll be talking about the rookies. We'll talk about impact. And as we've always said, the rookies are important to evaluate because it's not just – it's a natural thing to say, but we need to reinforce it. It's also what they do to the existing players on that team. Sometimes a rookie gets a middling player on that's been a wide receiver three. He becomes a wide receiver two because he's got that young rookie pushing him and he does not want to lose that paycheck. So that's a player that you have to watch. I enjoy that part of what happens on draft day. Pretty excited about that. So we do that all the time. Oh, sorry about that. Got a little bit of a people calling in here from the other phone lines. Got to keep an eye on that. But anyways, so that's one important thing to keep in mind, where these rookies will go, what's going on with them, and the impact they have to the team they've been drafted to. If you want to check out the KFFFC, it's at kffsc.com, and you can reach Farrell at 502-523-5057. That's his stomping ground. You will always get him there. Talk to him about the upcoming season. Talked to him about registering out there in Louisville. This year is the KFFSC's 14th year, I think. I'll have to ask Farrell about that when he calls in here in a few minutes. It's a premier live draft event. You can do online drafts there and live drafts, all kinds of formats, auctions, experts, the whole nine yards. And you can be out there and get it. So why don't we, while we wait for these guys to call in, why don't we start out with the NFL, NFC free agents that are out there. Starting out with Seattle. This team has got some significant changes on it, in my opinion. A lot of people look for the sexy things and what wide receivers moved, what running backs moved. But over here in Seattle, a great deal of caution to people. They have lost Alvin Bailey, the offensive tackle. They've lost J.R. Sneezy, the guard. Those are good players. Then they lost Russell Okung. So that's a significant loss for them. They replaced these players with journeyman Bradley Sowell, the tackle from Arizona. And a good player, don't get me wrong. He was a good rotational player for the Cardinals. He was an important player. But yeah, this guy was an undrafted player, walked on to Tampa Bay, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, kind of stuck around, got himself in Arizona, got into the rotation there as an important player. But when you lose guys like Bailey, Sneezy, and Okung, that's a bit of a shot to re-sign Bradley Sowell to replace them. And Jamarcus Webb was a player that did pretty well for the Raiders, a decent player. Again, I would call him kind of in your mix of your rotation offensive line to give you some depth. Again, another guy that not the type of replacement you're talking about for these guys right here. So kind of disappointed in that. Now, additionally, Seattle, who, of course, we all know about defense, they lost Mr. Urban, Bruce Irvin, the outside linebacker. So in fantasy, DST, sure, that's something folks kind of downplay a little bit. They don't put that in as high of a value as they should, in my opinion, because those you're going to have a couple of games during the year that you're going to lose by your DST score. And additionally, you're going to have a total points league where you might miss out on the fifth. You might be in fifth place instead of fourth because you came up 50 points short, 60 points short, and that's your DST. So when Urban's gone, that hurts that defense. And the other thing that hurts that defense is Brandon Memane, the defensive tackle. He's gone to Denver. So this team has lost, in my opinion, two very good players on their offensive line. Marshawn Lynch, of course, retires. And they lost two very good players on their defense. We'll see what they do to replace that. But so for me, it's a heads up in Seattle. The Thomas Rawls love, I think, is a bit much. I'm being very careful there. And that's what. So Farrell's got a little issue, I think, with a number. So I'm going to text him over that number right now to help him out. Farrell, if you're listening, it is, and any guest can call in too if they want tonight, 760-888-5776. That's 760-888-5776. Hopefully that number is working, because if it's not, that's a problem. There I see Mr. Sean the Gons joined. Boy, I haven't talked to Sean since January. Sean, is that you, sir?
That is me. How are you doing, Bobby?
Man, it's so good to hear your voice. We're just kicking it off here. This is the first KFFC show of the season, and I am just super excited, man.
Yeah, I know. It seems like it's been forever. I know the season just ended a little while ago, but a lot to talk about, and can't wait for football to come back.
No, we always talk about that, too. Right after the season ends, we talk about that purging. You kind of got to get everything out of your system. You watch the Super Bowl, and there's that small lull. Some guys talk about it's 12 months a year. Yeah, it's 12 months a year because you're watching it, but I kind of like that two-week, that three-week a little. It's just a little calmer. You're not watching things as close. You're relaxing, and then it's just interesting how things start heating up. People start looking at rosters and salary caps, and then it's free agency, and it just gets zany from there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm not one of these people that just enjoys football. I like some of the other sports as well. So it's nice to have a break and, watch a little basketball, get ready for a little baseball. But football is always in the forefront of your mind, for sure.
No question. So, Sean, I'm going to cut right to it, and we'll go back to KFC a little while when Farrell probably calls us. But I just covered Seattle real quick. I wanted to get your take on it. They lost, I told folks, they lost Bailey, they lost Sneezy, two good offensive linemen. Then, of course, they lost Russell Okung at tackle. His skills in injuries, certainly a problem, but still an important player on that offense. They replaced him with a journeyman, Sowell from Arizona. They replaced him with Marcus Webb, let go by the Raiders. That's Farrell's Raider guy, and we'll get to Farrell in just a second. And they also lost Bruce Irvin and Brandon Memane on the defensive line. And everyone's happy about Mr. Thomas Rawls, and I think this Seattle team is a little bit in danger here of slipping back. Do you agree with me, or you think I'm crazy?
No, I think you're right. And, let's be honest, their offense wasn't incredible last year to start with. I mean, Rawls was really nice when he came in, gave him a nice boost. But they certainly struggled last year. I know, Baldwin came out of nowhere and had a tremendous year, but the chances of him repeating that are pretty slim as well. Like you said, with that offensive line maybe not being as strong as it was, maybe a little tough going for the running game this year.
Yeah, so I'm glad. I'm seeing him go down in some of the mock drafts now. I think people are starting to get off of that. So now I have the distinct pleasure, and I think I'm predicting this correctly, we're kicking off the 2016 KFFFC season here on the podcast with the commissioner, Mr. Farrell Elliott. Farrell, I believe this is your 14th year for that live event, that premier live event outside of Vegas.
Start of our league year. And lots of guys in Vegas, Bobby. How you doing, Sean? Lots of guys say that they have a better time here than they do in Las Vegas. So we appreciate hearing that. And we don't, it's not a contest. Come and we'll show you a good time and we'll get you more passionate about fantasy football. You'll want to play it in Las Vegas and in basements in your hometown and everywhere else that you possibly can.
Yeah, and for folks that didn't listen last year that are joining, the beauty, of course, of what Farrell and the KFFFC bring every week with people like Sean and lots of other guests that we will have is you're going to get expert guests that participate in so many formats, so many leagues, and they don't come across. What I love about your guys, Farrell, is what you said earlier is right. They don't come across even 10% arrogant. They're just like, hey, they love their sport. This is their hobby and passion. They're happy to share. And what I love, too, is these guys take their lumps when they're wrong, too. They go, oh, that was a terrible pick. It's just like you're hanging out with your buddies.
It is. And, you know, if you go anywhere, you'll find that probably the most arrogant person in the room is usually the one that does the poorest over time.
No, so that's me.
Bobby Butterfield, you are not falsely arrogant. And you are a knowledgeable and consistent winning champion. You know, Sean, Bobby swept a division this year, collected $1,600 in that division for his $300 entry fee. Pretty impressive job, Bobby Butterfield.
Yeah, we'll take that every time. I hear you. But I have to admit, you know, sitting here for 30 shows with 30 different experts, it sure didn't hurt my strategy during waiver wires, did it?
No, it. The more you're thinking about it, the more you're listening to people, getting that bounce back. I think you had a very good waiver year because Sean and I know we witnessed it. You sure as hell didn't draft that well, so you know you had to have a very good waiver. You had to have a very good waiver there. But no, Bobby Butterfield is a solid threat when you show up at the KFFSC and you see Bobby Butterfield sitting at your table. You know you got your work cut out for you, but really, I think that's the message you're giving about all our players. You know, guys, I can't wait to get our 2015 champion, James Adams, on the show. James drafted one team only, worked that team to the top, and won the $7,500 and his, most importantly and even better than the money, the bragging rights of being KFFSC champ. And congratulations, James. We look forward to bringing you on to talk to people from all around the country. Sean, this Bobby Butterfield is a master at the mass communicating, and he's got listeners from everywhere. So what are we going to tell them about this upcoming year, Bobby?
Well, I'll tell you what. I can't be more excited to come back. I've got that auction juice with you, that's for sure. It's August 28th and 30th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday out there at the Horseshoe and the weekend before in Cincinnati, kind of the warm-ups. Plus, we've got a draft online the entire month of August, essentially, so you can warm up that way. But, again, that casino, like you said, a great format because it's just enough fancy but just enough down home that you relax and just get to work and have a ball.
And, you know, Sean, sometimes when we beat up on the Bobby Butterfield, people think I'm holding a terrible grudge against some of the things he says. But I've already got to go correct him. 28th through 30th was last year, Bobby, and if you come on the 29th and 30th, everybody's going to be packed up and out of town. Our dates this year, Friday, August 26th through Sunday, August 28th, and guess what? On August 21st, we'll be in Cincinnati at the Horseshoe Casino there.
Yeah, nonstop fun and tons of different formats. We are going to have time tonight to even bounce in and out and talk a little bit about those formats in the event. Tonight, NFC free agents, we're talking about a little bit. Guys, the Rams lose Janoris Jenkins. That's not a big deal in fantasy, probably. But how about James Laurinaitis? They lose him, too. The Rams really, I guess the news here, they've done nothing, Farrell. So do you expect more of the same, this woeful offensive production?
You know, the Rams have spent their spring just trying to position themselves in a market which I thought would be very attractive to free agent players. They have,
right.
they have money to spend. They're moving into a new market, and it seems like the transition into that market has been a bigger task and chore to them. Maybe they've got some answers in the draft, and we'll look forward to seeing that. But no, I can't figure out exactly what the Rams are doing. I couldn't figure it out exactly what they were doing last year when they went to the various quarterbacks that they did. And we'll just have to see what they bring into the draft. I know one thing, Sean Liggins got some interesting commentary on that running back from last year.
Sean, go ahead, lay it on us. They've lost McLeod and Jenkins, their defensive backfield. I think this defense is going to get beat up a little bit. They lost Chris Long. He didn't do much last year, but of course he was hurt. I think this defense is going to take a significant downturn in that tough division. What do you think about Gurley?
No, I totally agree with you guys, and it's also surprised me that they haven't addressed, you know, a lot of offensive needs they have. But, Gurley's a fantastic talent, but he just has no help. I mean, it's going to be like the old days. You know, he's going to have to do it all on his own, kind of like Adrian Peterson used to have to do it years ago all on his own. And he may have that type of talent. If he can hold up, we'll see. As far as the Rams not making any moves, seems like to me when teams make a move like this, you know, they've got that honeymoon period where they move into the new city. Fans aren't going to be all over them for the first couple years. Maybe they're taking this opportunity to build slowly through the draft. Don't feel like they have to make a big splash because they've already made their big splash moving to Los Angeles.
It would look like with the coaching that they have, that they would be very anxious to win. Those guys have a little gray hair when they look in the mirror, and I don't know how long those contracts and those jobs and that coaching staff will handle that honeymoon period. But that's something I haven't thought about. But yeah, Bobby, I tell you, the worst thing that the Rams have going for them, their least favorite team, would be the Rams' offense. It's keeping them on the field so much that, yes, they'll be bent and often broken.
Well, you know, Fisher's had 6 winning seasons in 21 years. That's not good, Farrell.
It's amazing what a good profile and a strong mustache will accomplish for you in the NFL. He's managed to hang on his job. He's managed to hang right around 500, and he's also managed to survive a situation by letting a lot of a big number of assistant coaches go and changing around people underneath him. That's why he's so well respected in the league. Hell, he's given so many people a job.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And his position on the NFL boards helps him as well. I agree. I think on this team, it's just a tough get outside of Gurley. He's going to go early where we're trying to slip back on running backs. I don't think we're going to see him on a lot of our friends' teams, so to speak. Flipping over to San Francisco, though, let's go to you, Farrell. Thad Lewis leaves. He's the only player that follows Chip Kelly. Thad Lewis, the quarterback, follows Chip Kelly to San Francisco to back up Colin Kaepernick and Blaine Gabbert. I guess my only question here, Farrell, is Carlos Hyde coming back, no activity on free agency. They lost Alex Boone, a good guard. What's your expectation in San Francisco?
Well, my expectation is to avoid them. And you know, we've got this in the draft. There's going to be a lot of starting players on this team in our fantasy drafts that are going to be available rounds 15 through 20. So you can take a flyer on those players then. You know, when we go to Las Vegas, we have still many 49er fans that will come and draft. And so there might be some drafting inflation there. Again, this is a team that we have to see what they do in the NFL draft. We have to see what the preseason looks like. But we've all been bitten in the Kelly system in Philadelphia that certainly didn't reward us with better players that we drafted for hoping for fantasy points last year. San Francisco almost becomes like a do-not-draft franchise.
Wow. Sean, how about you? Niners, Carlos Hyde.
I wasn't particularly high on Carlos Hyde last year. That did not look like a very good call early in the year as he got up to a fantastic start, but we all know how that ended, not so well. I don't believe Chip Kelly is going to win a lot of games there, but I do think we'll get some kind of receiver, some kind of back going to catch quite a few balls because they're going to run a tremendous amount of plays still. You don't necessarily have to play good football to play good fantasy football. So So I think it's a team you need to really watch in the preseason, see who ends up, you know, is their primary pass catcher and their primary running back that catches the ball, and maybe they go after them late in the draft, like Farrell said.
And there you go, Farrell. Probably one of the most consistent pieces of advice is all the experts give is when it comes to draft time, don't ever say what Bob says sometimes. You know, every player has a value at the right spot, and that Niner offense will move the ball. They will get some catches. There will be some PPR value. If one guy carves out that steady starting role, he's going to get 70 catches, right, Farrell?
Yes, but that's your one issue. Who is that one guy?
Who is it?
Darren Sproles was a beloved player, disappeared in this system. Running backs move in and out of this system at accomplishing very, very little. Now, I know we've got new players, but, you know, pound for pound, position for position, we have worse players. And every player has a value, but it's hard. It's just going to be very, very difficult to lay into some of these guys to count on them. Yes, I believe 15 through 20, that's if you can't find another attractive 15 through 20. You know, flipping back just real quick, and I'd like to know your opinion about this player, Bobby, because I heard a good debate on it the other day. I know where Sean stands. Last year, a 15 through 20 pick was a player that people still can't decide about, Tavon Austin. I absolutely love him if you're in a draft master concept. What do you think about him, though, from a week to week? And that's the same kind of situation that I see any receiver coming in San Francisco, a poor man's Tavon Austin, and that's pretty poor.
That's pretty poor is right. And, you know, I had him actually in the FFPC league and one of your KFFC teams. He got hot there kind of early for a couple weeks, kind of looked nice. But I'm sorry. It's just like you said, in a week to week, impossible. Draft expert, very interesting. But doesn't it just come down to quarterback? Because if we don't have a guy that's going to pass for like 3,100 yards, 3,300 yards as a min, we're in trouble. So if Nick Foles can't recapture that project, that magic, we're not going to see that from a guy like, I believe it's Sean Mannion or something, and Case Keenum. So it's really Nick Foles and Todd Gurley. So to me, Tavon Austin, I don't know, the best thing that happened to Tavon Austin is Chris Givens left.
and they called lots of end around, Sean.
They do. No, that's true. He looked good on that. He looks good on that. You're right, Farrell. So it goes to what Sean just said about the Niners. If we find the player that becomes part of that offense, so there you go. Let's go on to a team that I'm excited about, and of course a lot of people were, but I think they've made some great moves here in the offseason. That's the Cardinals. They're in that same division. They signed Tyvon Branch, not a very sexy safety, but he's a help in that backfield. But then they lose Bobby Massey, great tackle to the Bears. They lose Bradley Sowell. We talked about him going to Seattle. I'm probably saying his name wrong, but a good rotation guy. But instead, thanks for laughing, guys. Thanks for backing me up. But instead, what they do get is they end up with Chandler Jones, one of the best pass rushers in football, and Evan Mathis, the guard from Denver. Farrell, I think Mathis and Jones – outweighs their losses. I think they're a better team.
Very good. I'm glad you think that. this team, it's hard to imagine that they will have the same kind of success that they had in the regular season in 2016. But perhaps they don't have to have it because they gave many, many fantasy answers. And who's the offensive threat that you're most excited about there?
It's tough, but you know, to me, given the fact that Chris Johnson came back, I'm actually liking where Michael Floyd is falling in drafts. I think that's the guy I'm most excited about.
He'll come back healthy. He won't have the issues that he had last year, and I think that will help him. I think everyone gets most excited about John Brown. What happens with Carson Palmer? We watched a situation this year where a beloved veteran quarterback certainly hit the wall. And we saw that Carson Palmer wonderful last year. Does he hit the wall this year? Do you believe that you can draft those wide receivers from that team? Because you're investing in an aged quarterback.
Well, I think they need to get Drew Stanton more involved early because he's not a bad downgrade for yardage. if Palmer does run into some trouble. But I think, are you suggesting we might see a slight pitch count early in the year?
Well, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just curious, you know, if something happens with Carson Palmer, I hope there's help coming from the draft, and perhaps there will be, because I'm not a believer in anything that they have on the team behind him.
Sean, what do you think about this Cardinal team? They lost Cooper, a nice player they liked on the offensive line in that deal with the Pats. They signed Mathis from the Broncos, kind of beat up all last year, but he's a heck of a scrummer. I'll call him a scrummer. And they get Chandler Jones, one of my favorite defensive players. Maybe that helps Carson Palmer because he won't have to face Chandler Jones maybe in the playoffs.
You think about last year, what was the one thing they really had trouble with was getting to the quarterback. I mean, they went out and got Dwight Freeney off the scratch. And brought him back to life. He was their only pass rush, so they certainly have addressed that. I don't think there's any question they should be better at getting to the quarterback, and that should it should help their team overall. And you guys were talking about the guys you're most excited about. I still have to stick with my man crush from last year, David Johnson. The man, I drafted him everywhere. He was on every team just about I had last year, and I hope to have him again this year just about everywhere. I think he's regardless, bringing back Chris Johnson, I think he's a monster and too good to keep off the field.
Well, I'm sure this year when we have some of Farrell's echo winners and champions in, we're going to find that common theme of Johnson being on some of those rosters, so we'll be able to talk about him. Let's move on to the Bucs, or we won't get this done in an hour. The NFC still has stuff. So the Bucs, it's a defensive free agency, Farrell, so how does this impact their offense? Robert Ayers, a nice defensive end. Brent Grimes, a fantastic defensive back who slipped last year, comes from Miami. Josh Robinson, one of my favorite defensive backs from Minnesota. Darryl Smith comes over from the Ravens, an inside linebacker. That's a hell of a football player. And then they stole Sweezy off from the Hawks. So they helped their offensive line a bit. They've lost nothing, and they've helped their defense. So what does that do to their fantasy relevance?
Now, this is a defense that I could, in our system that we play in the KFFSC, this is a defense that I could certainly live with. And I think that those additions plus what they'll do in the draft will shore up a team that obviously relies on explosive young quarterback and a rushing attack. They had to sell Doug Martin on the fact not to leave, that he would be a focal point of this offense. So a good defense sure does reward the running backs on your offense. So, there's a lot of positive fantasy upsides with the Bucs right now. And look at all those free agents, guys. It sure is interesting what no state tax and 75 year-round degrees will do to football players, especially when a lot of them are from the South and looking for a ticket home out of places like Baltimore, Minnesota, and New Jersey.
So, Farrell, this defense better. They leave the offense intact. So, your opinion, do we see a little more offense out of the Bucs because they're on the field a little more? What are you thinking about Winston, Mike Evans, V-Jax being healthy, and, of course, the sexy talk on ASJ? What do you think of this offensive unit with Dirk Koetter at coach? Is it a better fantasy offense?
Yes, I think they won't be playing from behind, so you might miss some of those 3 and 4 touchdown games or huge games from Evans, but you're going to find more consistency with all the Bucs, and I think that's what we look for in fantasy players is consistent week-to-week performance in a year-long league, and that's what I think the Bucs, for the first time in a long time, bring that. And I don't look for this quarterback to have a sophomore slump.
Sean, Dirk Koetter comes back. It's Winston. Austin Seferian Jenkins, a lot of people liked him in September. He fell apart, got hurt. Of course, Mike Evans, to me, is a beast. What do you think of these offensive guys with this better defense?
Yeah, I agree. I think those guys should have possibly a slight upgrade. I think a lot of the guys at the end of the year, their numbers probably won't look that much different. I like Evans a lot too, and I think if you can get him in the right spot, he's worth it. But Evans and Jackson seem to be pretty inconsistent by nature. They seem to have monster games where they drop the ball a lot and disappear a lot. So it's one of those things where if you got them, you start them every week, and by the end of the year, your total points are there, but you're going to have to live with some up-and-down weeks with those guys.
Yeah, Evans has been a high draft pick in mocks already, so he's the player to watch. And, of course, Martin comes back. Let's move on to those cash-strapped New Orleans Saints, Farrell. I know as a NFL agent, geez, Farrell, I was looking at your bio again today for some, just updating something on the webpage. How many years have you been helping out with the NFL and these players trying to get them into the leagues?
This is my 30th official year in the league because I was doing it for 3 years before agents were ever regulated. So I was in the first class of certified player agents, which is a thing that I'm quite proud of. But, yeah, a long damn time, Bobby Butterfield.
Yeah, and that gives us that. That gives this show, and to be honest, it gives hanging out with you a little different perspective because you always put it back in context of thinking about that player in the position. Don't just look at 6 news bits and a couple workouts. You got to kind of wrap the whole thing up. Farrell will help give you, and he'll give you some great stories on the Raiders, folks. So let's move on to those cash-strapped Saints, Farrell. I know you knew they were cash-strapped because you probably weren't trying to get any of your guys over that way, maybe. I don't know. But Kobe Fleener signs there for big bucks. James Laurinaitis coming off a bust year for the Rams to help that linebacker. He's probably going to get 180 tackles because that defense is so bad. And they also lose Kyrie Robinson. It's a little bit interesting at running back there. So, Farrell, real quick, Fleener, projections for 2016 with Drew Brees.
Oh, you gotta love the matchup, and it's you know, I don't know which team knows best. The Colts decided to pay their other tight end,
Allen.
Dwayne Allen. They decided to pay their other tight end, Dwayne Allen, who has recovered from significant hip surgery on a tight end, but they elected to pay him and let Fleener hit the road. And which one was supposed to have the relationship with the quarterback?
Exactly. It was Fleener.
Yeah, so they let this player hit the road. So who's right? The Saints were right about Brees, and Miami Dolphins were wrong years and years ago. Maybe the Saints are right again here. You know, last year, was it Ben Watson that had significant receiving days for the New Orleans Saints?
Yes,
with Brees at quarterback? Was it Ben Watson, guys?
It was.
Yeah. You know, and if I told you guys in March of 2015, hey, we'll look for that Ben Watson resurgence, you guys would have said, you know, Farrell's gone loopy. So it's a situation where it looks good on paper, and we'll just have to see. And maybe they know something about this player, or maybe they have a significant plan for him. You'd have to think they do down in New Orleans.
So, Sean, your thoughts on Kobe Fleener going down to New Orleans, where last year Ben Watson, like Farrell just said, 74 catches, over 800 yards with 6 touchdowns. What does Fleener do down there?
I would say he took that probably slightly less than that, but I think he'll be a decent replacement. But Ben Watson had some pretty big games last year.
And
I don't know that Fleener is the type of guy that can take over a game like Watson did last year. I'm like Farrell. I have a little reservation that the Colts let him go like that, especially like you say with the relationship he's had with Andrew Luck, and that would send up a little bit of a red flag to me. But we'll see.
Kyrie Robinson, who did get some of the catches in that team, is gone. Farrell. Does that bump up Ingram? Because we saw more rounded out Mark Ingram last year. So do you think Ingram's more valuable with Robinson missing?
God, I hate giving these vanilla answers to these questions, but right now it's too soon to tell. And I would think so. But, guys, you know, we've proven now that the running back position is the easiest position to find talent at, especially if you're good personnel people. This is a draft that's okay with running backs. I would give it like a B grade. And in their position in this draft, the Saints' position in this draft, they could do well for themselves with some players. So we're just going to have to see what the mix of players are there. You know, back to Fleener, the best thing he does is run a skinny post from the tight end position. And if you can bring in a group of wide receivers, young wide receivers maybe it'll only take one, that could provide more than some of the guys that they had on the field last year,
You know, perhaps Fleener becomes a fairly big answer because he doesn't have to carry the team like Watson did.
There's
many situations where Watson was the number one target. So a lot of that has to be worked out. But yes, I definitely like Ingram's prospectus at this point in time better than I've liked it in a long time.
I would go with you on that. So the Panthers just signed an offensive line help, defensive tackle, and strong safety. So we're going to move past them. That offense comes back intact. We'll probably have plenty of opportunities to talk about second-year player Cameron Artis Pine, what happens with Kelvin Benjamin coming back. So we'll come back to the Panthers, but free agency-wise, that offense returns the way it left the season. But let's move to Atlanta, Farrell. A lot of activity from your Georgia friends down there. They did lose that center to the Carolina Panthers. They did lose Paul, the defensive tackle. But arriving is a lot of help, in my opinion. Tom Copton, a nice tackle from Washington. But it's Alex Mack. He's the headline. A dominating cerebral center from Cleveland. Gets the hell out of town. Signs in Atlanta. They also signed Leroy Reynolds, a sneaky inside linebacker. So more help on that defense. But on offense, it's Mohamed Sanu coming over from your Bengals. So, Farrell, really the headline here, it's Mack the center and Sanu at wide receiver. Is Matt Ryan back on track?
Well, Sanu's a big target. I'm real interested what you guys think about him. You know, we've always expected him to produce more. I'll say this. This, we think that free agency is based on what teams see in production or what they see in the NFL. We're going through a very interesting time right now. These players that are upcoming in the 2016 college draft, they don't belong to anybody. And you can find out a great deal about all the players that are coming into the league. And maybe in Atlanta, they think they know something about Sanu that Cincinnati didn't, and we don't know. Maybe they cringe every time they see how Sanu was applied in the Cincinnati offense. I know a lot of fantasy owners did. So,
yeah.
You know, it's their perception that they're not sharing with anybody until the preseason and maybe until the regular season as to what's going to happen. So we got to keep an eye on that. But, yes, and this is a team Sean brought up in L.A., what maybe is happening out there. He called it the famous honeymoon effect. Boy, in Atlanta, they need to win right away, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, Sean, they do. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a team I actually root for. You know, it's not fantasy-wise, but in real life. And, they certainly do need to win, and Matt Ryan certainly is – he's outlived his honeymoon period. People definitely want him to win, believe me. So, to me, the new fits what they like down there. They like big, strong, physical wide receivers. And with Roddy White, you know, no longer Roddy White, I think they thought that maybe Sanu can come in, a younger, better – you know, a younger version of him. So, and that's what I look for with him. And he is a pretty good athlete, and he can do a lot of those – reverses as well. We know he can throw the ball as well, so maybe they get more creative in their offense. That would be nice.
Well, I think Copton at tackle, Mack at center are enormous stabilizing effects. I like Justin Hardy in his second year, Mohamed Sanu.
Yep.
I think you've got some good rounding out opportunities for this offense to kind of get back on track. And, of course, two running backs that can definitely shred parts of the league. Farrell, your Vikings, they did not sit pack either. They stole from your Bengals, and you can tell us why because of their head coach. But Lamar Emanuel, one of my favorite outside linebackers, who's not been an IDP stud, but I think is a great player. He comes in outside linebacker. Andre Smith, the big tackle, and Alex Boone, the guard from San Francisco. So they've helped that offensive line considerably, and they got that Mike Wallace out of town.
They, there was not a player anywhere – In the NFL last year that I was more wrong about than Mr. Mike Wallace. But when I went to a preseason game in Tennessee, I saw Wallace and a couple of other players from the Vikings, including Bridgewater, as players that were basically taking a siesta on the sidelines. They never got in the game. This was game three. They were over there. Their helmet was on the bench. They were wearing those floppy white,
yes,
looked like desert hats, campaign hats at And I was wondering, I said, when is this team going to get ready to play the season? If you guys remember, they played the second Monday night game on opening week and obviously looked like they weren't ready to play the season as San Francisco absolutely ran over them. So my point on that is, you know, it's definitely addition by subtraction in Minnesota. Now, when you look at this free agency, one of the things is, as an agent that we always love to see is the successful coaching tree. And you know, they love this coach in Minnesota. The players, when they had him at Dallas, they loved him. When he coached at Cincinnati, they loved him. Now he's got the head gig at Minnesota, and the guys are getting out of their contract, and they're leaving. And they're looking forward to getting up there and playing for him again. Alex Boone, I don't know that much to say about Boone other than he got the hell out of San Francisco.
Sean, Mike,
was a good thing.
Yeah. So Sean Farrell's talking about Mike Zimmer, of course. He's brought in two big offensive linemen to help out, and Boone and Smith, two veteran guys, not guys that are going to get coached up. They're veteran stabilizers. He brought in Emmanuel, probably a guy he drafted. I think Emmanuel's heading into his fourth year. Just out of his contract, like Farrell said, he got out. He wanted to go with and play for Mike. So that offense comes back. Teddy Bridgewater is very disappointing getting the ball to wide receivers. I don't expect anything different. Do you see anything in Jerick McKinnon, or do you think it's all day?
I think it's still Adrian Peterson till the wheels fall off. I don't see where they've done anything different. And I know Mike Wallace was one guy that was very happy to get out of town, not because of the coach, but it seems like he didn't have a lot of kind things to say about Mr. Bridgewater. So, you know, we'll have to remain to be seen if Bridgewater is going to live up to what a lot of people thought he was going to be when he got to the NFL. Still young in
his
career.
In this offense, guys, Sean, in this offense, I think Wallace may have a legitimate complaint, because if you had told me that Norv Turner would run this kind of offense, I would have to tell you you're crazy, or he's got a quarterback that can't move the ball down the field. I thought this was a maturation process, and perhaps it's just a situation where quarterback can't move the ball down the field. So it's
the thing about it is, though, you know, when you watch Bridgewater, like even in the Pro Bowl, I mean, he really throws the deep ball, it seems, really well. But in the Minnesota games that I've seen him do, it just doesn't seem to work out. And I'm with you, Farrell. I would have thought Mike Wallace would have been a perfect fit there, because he's very good at running that, you know, those types of patterns. And it's strange it didn't work out, but it certainly did not. So.
Yeah, I think the takeaway here is there's still all kinds of hype. Once again, people are getting excited about Kyle Rudolph being a big bust-out player. There's so many good, deep tight ends at that B and C-plus rating. My words are caution on this Viking team outside of Peterson, just like Sean said. The Packers, of course, stand packed. That's no surprise. They're not a free agent team. Your Detroit Lions, though, Mr. Elliott, the player here to talk about, they helped their defense a little bit with some signings. Stephen Charles, a great defensive tackle, in my opinion, from Buffalo. So they got a little help on defense. But the player we need to talk about, Megatron is gone. Golden Tate moves into the one, let's call it, and they bring in Marvin Jones. So Farrell, and of course, also thrown into the mix here is Yoke Bell gone. So we got Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick, and we got Golden Tate and Marvin Jones. Those four players, Stafford thrown for 4,000 yards. What are we going to get?
You're going to get more yardage in that passing game, and I don't care how good their defense is. They're going to have to score points to win in this division, and it certainly seems like they've added the right guys to do it. Even to the point that I love the addition of Jeremy Curley. I don't know. He's working in a situation where he might be the odd man out, very much like he was with the New York Jets. But I really like what goes on here on offense. This could be a team that could often be playing from behind and being bang-bang games where they have to put up some points.
So, Sean, how about you? What do you think is going on here in Detroit with Marvin Jones? Is he a 80-catch, 1,000-yard guy?
I think he certainly could be, just from the amount of times they throw the ball and the more likelihood that they'll be playing from behind in that division with a lot of high-powered offenses. I mean, they're gonna, like Farrell said, they're going to have to score points to keep up in that division. I as well think it'll be interesting to see how they use Curley. And again, you know, we'll have to see how our guy Amir Abdullah does as well. So a lot of interesting weapons up in Detroit. It's just how are they going to use them all? Obviously, it's a big bump to Golden Tate with Calvin Johnson retiring. We saw what he did in the games when Calvin Johnson didn't play, especially when he did play. So that's probably the biggest takeaway for me.
I am right there with you. I think the takeaway is not only is it Golden Tate with Megatron hurt and on the bench, it's now Golden Tate being asked to be the one. We always talk about a player moving over to become covered by the top defensive back. I think this guy is up for this. I think Stafford still has that arm to get tons of yards, like Farrell said, because of their defense. Their tight ends still massively underperform. I don't think those running backs will be successful running that well. They'll be passing a lot.
Nope.
I think Tate's worth the draft pick, and I think Jones is a perfect complement, and we might get surprised. Farrell's done this before. This time of year, last year, a guy like Curley could be a very sneaky slot player that racks up huge PPR numbers, so keep an eye on him. Let's finish the Central before we talk back about the KFFC real quick and what's coming up in August. So Chicago, the big hit, Farrell, Matt Forte's gone. People talking about Jeremy Langford, they're crazy, I think. The Bears tried hard to get C.J. Anderson. So talk to me, Forte gone, Langford in. What does it really do, I guess, to Cutler and those receivers?
It's hard to say. It's losing a player like Forte. Impossible to replace. You've got to replace him, I think, with a committee of players. It just shows the devaluation of the running back, but it also is a 30-year-old running back, and this team feels they're playing and building for a future. Not so much talking about what they lost, talking about what they retained. Rodgers is still there, a little complimentary player, but in the passing game, you know, Jeffries is still there with a big contract, and Zach Miller, the 30-plus-year-old tight end, who came out of essentially the same place that Gary Barnage did, with the guys that had never had a chance to contribute and contributed beautifully this year from the tight end position. And then they picked up our old boy from the University of Kentucky Wildcats on the defensive side of the ball. Didn't they pick up Trevathan?
They did. That's a huge signing for them. You're right. It's probably the best linebacker signing in the free agency.
I like it. $28 million contract. And he's a player that could make a real difference with this club. I think some of these teams think they're only one guy away from turning the defense into a new direction. So with Forte, you know, the Bears got out of that situation when, you know, perhaps at the right time, but I think he'll go to the Jets. I think he'll be great.
How about you, Sean?
Yeah, I think Forte will do quite well at the Jets. And, you know, I think Langford showed that he can produce when he's, you know, when he filled in for Forte last year. And even when they had a committee situation, when Forte came back, both of them produced pretty well. The thing we don't know about Langford yet is what his durability is going to be. Matt Forte was, you know, pretty darn durable, and he was a three-down back. I don't know that we can expect Langford, even though he's got the skill set to be a three-down back, he's not quite the same size, and we just don't know about his durability yet. That's the only thing that concerns me. I still think Alshon Jeffery is, you know, a monster. You know, Cutler locks in on one guy and seems to only look for him. So, you know, I think you still got to consider him. And we'll get to see their first-round draft pick from West Virginia last year that didn't play at all, hopefully, sometime this year. So that could be interesting as well.
Well, perhaps we'll see that. I don't know. But with Cutler, with Jeffrey, Kevin White, that's the player you're talking about. It could be very interesting. Miller, of course, also interesting. But Langford, I'll look up his stats real quick while Farrell talks to us about the upcoming events in August. But I think we left the season thinking Langford was more than he was. I've already done some of my pre-scouting for August, and I've moved that guy down so far. You will be surprised, Sean. So while Farrell talks, I'm going to look up his stats real quick. Farrell, talk about your plan for August, both the online events, our shows, of course, and then your live event coming up at the end of August.
Well, guys, we will start online with our main event in August, the weekend of our Cincinnati live event. So you'll be able to draft in the 14th edition of the KFFSC. You'll be able to draft starting that Thursday. before we get to action in the 21st in Cincinnati, and then our big culmination of our live drafting and our main event will take place on the 26th through the 28th at the Horseshoe Casino in Southern Indiana. We'd like fantasy players from around the country to call in. You're welcome to call me at 502-523-5057. You can go to KFFSC.com, Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship.com, or you can go to the Facebook page and see pretty pictures of Bobby Butterfield and Sean Ligon there, and like us on Facebook and keep up with the postings. We're beginning to send out information about our league, and I'd like to thank our contest winners from this past year. So many existing winners said, Farrell, I'm coming back to next year. Send me a little bit of my winnings. Roll over the rest. I'd like to thank everybody for just continued support of the league. When you know you're starting with a base of great players returning to your event, it makes you real excited to go out and add new people, new blood. We have some wonderful guys part of our prize package. In addition to the great cash winnings and the great trophies and the great bragging rights, Bobby Butterfield.
Oh, yeah.
One of the wonderful things is that we're able to introduce to our players and to also reward continuously, seems like, year after year, and give our players the chance to earn a bid to play in the FFPC in Las Vegas, which is an equally wonderful event and a grand prize of $300,000 there. So, come to Kentucky for a $300 entry fee, have success, work your way into a chair the following year to win $300,000 in 2017. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. And KFFFC.com, hit the contact us. You'll get Farrell's number there. This is a event, folks, that it's worth that phone call because you talk to Farrell. You won't get someone else. If you get his voicemail, leave that message. I guarantee he calls you back. He is awesome with that phone. He will call you back and talk to you about his events. You can do everything from experts to auctions to main events to I want to be Vegas, et cetera, et cetera. So great stuff. Farrell, I'm still very interested in the Mile High Fantasy football season. I think if we get everybody on the right plane this year, we can have 12 participants going to Vegas on the same day. Are we going to recruit or not?
Are you kidding me, Bobby Butterfield? We've already got 16 players. We've already got 16 players in our flight that will take off. We're just trying to format the league, and so we got to winnow it down to 12. There's a lot of guys.
Better
that
be
talk
saving
in March.
Me one.
But yes, Bobby, you do have a seat. But on our Southwest Airlines flight leaving from Stanford Field in Louisville on Wednesday, September, I'm stretching out, guys, a little bit. I think it's the 7th. On leaving Wednesday, September 7th, we will appear in mass, and the tickets, especially on the way out, will be purchased as a group ticketing, and we will actually draft from the Southwest Airlines seats as we fly to Vegas to play in the FFPC.
Of intimate homegrown stuff that happens. A bunch of us met last year on a flight Farrell's taken many times with some of his longtime return champions. We were having a ball just on the tarmac before we took off. Jesse, the whole crew out there, and then we're on the plane. We're like, man, we should be drafting a team now. And so we said the Mile High Fans Football Club. That is just going to be fantastic, Farrell. I like the sounds of that a lot.
Have to use inflation for that, Bobby Butterfield. Because
I figured you would.
The Mile High, but maybe we don't want anyone to confuse what we're doing. So we may have to rename it because that Mile High has already been claimed by another activity.
We'll figure that out. Well, we're gonna go back. That's just the best news of the day. Jeremy Langford, 3.6. It is the best news of the day. I am in the Mile High Club, Sean. I always wanted to be in that, Sean. Would you like to own part of my team, Sean?
I'm very impressed with that. Yeah, I mean, what could be wrong with that? Yeah,
there you go. The stewardesses are going to love us. They're going to love us, Farrell.
Oh,
All right, Jeremy Langford, 3.6 yards a carry, 148 carries, 537 yards. He wasn't that good looking to me, Sean. I don't know. But he did finish strong, 19 for 83, his second last game of the year against the Bucks, 11 for 46. They never really used him for a lot of 10 and 12 carry games. That's screwed up for a running back, isn't it?
Well, not when you're backing up Matt Forte, and they used him at the end of the season. It seems like Bobby Butterfield, Sean, is holding a hateful grudge against Jeremy Langford. We'll have to understand why on future shows. And speaking of a future show, next week, can we talk about the AFC and maybe some Raiders?
Yeah, we can talk about AFC and the Raiders. Let's wrap up hitting the Eagles, and we'll talk a little about the Cowboys here in a second. And, those Bears went after Anderson. They wanted CJ. That tells me a lot. But anyways, let's hit them Eagles, Farrell. We'll hit the Eagles and skip over the Giants because it's just not going to be pretty. And then we'll talk about the Cowboys. So the Eagles, though, they wanted some fresh blood, Mr. Elliott. A lot of departures there, including their coach. But they bring in some great players. This team's made great moves. They're getting me sucked in again. Nigel Bradham, one of my favorite linebackers from Buffalo. Ron Brooks, a great cornerback. McClellan, a great cornerback. McLeod, a free safety. They got their whole new defense. But they bring in Chris Givens at wide receivers. I like it. They bring in Chase Daniel. I know you're going to talk to me about him. And Brandon Brooks, a great guard from Houston, which actually hurts Lamar Miller. So talk to me about Chase Daniel and Chris Givens and this new offensive line.
What in the world do you want to know about this ball club, Bobby Butterfield? They're 3 years away from being a serious factor in this division. And none of these guys are going to really be significant fantasy players, especially Chris Givens, who could not even shine with Baltimore, who was in terrible, terrible need of a wide receiver. Again, this reminds me, Sean Ligon, just about like when last year we were talking about the Cleveland running back core. Bobby Butterfield and now back in business with Philadelphia. I cede the floor to my buddy from Madisonville, Kentucky, to talk to you about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Go ahead, Sean. Give me some Sam Bradford love, brother. Give me some Zach Ertz love. Give it to me. But more importantly, Farrell's wrong. Ryan Matthews is coming back.
You're hitting a soft spot with me with Ryan Matthews. Good Lord, I drafted that kid for so many years. It's unbelievable. And I'm glad that Marcon Murray is gone. So the door is wide open for him to do something here. I still like Zach Ertz a little bit. I'm not sure I can get on board with the Sam Bradford train, but I think this may be a case where they'll play better football in reality, but fantasy-wise, I think there has to be a small downward, production-wise. I mean, the Lightning 11, Chip Kelly runs a lot of plays, and their defense was really bad. So, the offense had a lot of opportunities. They might have been down 30 points, but they had a lot of opportunities.
This team has made good moves. I'm happy for Eagle fans. 5 years ago, Ryan Matthews had 1,000 yards and 50 catches. Is it too much to ask for that again?
No, it's not, and that could definitely happen. But I've also been burned so many times, I wouldn't count on it either.
Farrell, Ryan Matthews, come on, man. Serious value, running back zero drafting strategy, a much better offensive line. He's healthy, and he's the man.
Yes, and one of the things that I don't like to talk about is how often a player gets injured, because I think an injury risk is 100% across this league. But, man, Ryan Matthews can find his brittle bones on the injured reserve quicker than any running back in the league. I am Bobby, I'm not buying. He's going to be there for you to pick if I'm picking against you.
5.1 yards a carry last year on that putrid excuse of a football team that killed many of fantasy drafters, yours truly included. I'm liking that offensive line. I am 5.1 yards a carry. I'm in, and he can catch. I'm in. Sam Bradford coming off another bad, bad injury a year ago. He stayed healthy. I know everyone's down on him. They brought him back. Chase Daniels is there. I'm thinking hard here. The last thing I want to talk about tonight, before I thank you two guys for sharing your expert wisdom, is the Cowboys not able to do a lot, but they bring in Alfred Morris to back up McFadden. Today that happens, Farrell. What is the impact now to the Redskin running back with Matt Jones and now the Cowboys with Alfred Morris chasing McFadden?
Alfred Morris was leaving. He was one of the free agents that had to find, you know, he's like the guy dog paddling in the ocean looking for land, and he found it at Dallas. Sure, Jones is the future. He's Washington's answer to David Johnson because they don't have a Chris Johnson. So if Arizona didn't, there would be similar expectations from the running backs. I really don't see a whole – you know, I just got to go back to Ryan Matthews. I just can't stay here because I've got that 5.1 flashing in my head, Bobby Butterfield. Yeah. And it is fool's gold. Sean Ligon, go back to how many games you watched where somehow through the athletic and great passing activity of this offense and quarterback Sam Bradford, we had so many third and 20s that they handed the ball to Ryan Matthews where he would pick up multiple yards. It's just not there, Bobby Butterfield. That's all I'm saying. The Morris and McFadden and yeah, the guy to talk about there is Jones, who will be a wonderful player.
Ooh.
I would agree with most of what he said. The only difference I would say is I don't believe Matt Jones is near the route runner that David Johnson is in a passing game. David Johnson's a really good route runner.
I don't either. I don't either, Sean, and I would rather have David. But what I'm saying is it what they mean to their individual teams. Sure. But I got one thing that I know Sean Ligon and Bobby Butterfield will agree with. He's a better route runner than Alfred Morris.
Poor Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris is from the Brandon Jacobs School of Pass Catching. If it hits him in the face mask, he might catch it. Otherwise, no chance. I don't have any expectations for him in Dallas, except for maybe some goal line carries. Love Matt Jones, but temper your expectations. Let's not take him in the second round.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking back at my friend Ryan Matthews, you know. So 2011, fractured hand, not good. Had a concussion in 2012, IR in 2012 with a clavicle, upper arm collarbone break in 2013. But last year was great. You know, if we remove his hamstring, I think I've got a second round running back.
You know, guys, that brings something interesting. We've always said that you cannot predict injuries, and I agree with that. A guy can be injury-prone and then show up for 16 games the following year. How are you going to know? But, you know, one of the things you can predict and can count is how many concussions a player has had.
Yeah.
And if he has another one, is he going to enter the protocol? And is he going to miss time? Your fantasy football roster should be all about availability, for one thing. And, yeah, Ryan Matthews might be one running back that's not available because of that concussion protocol.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have to admit, you do have some of that. As far as long rushes, though, 20 was as long except for a 63-yard touchdown scamper against a very tough Panther defense. I'm still thinking this is the value running back to roll with.
Bobby, where are you going to draft this player? Where are you going to draft him?
I can't recall where he's been going in some of these mocks. Of course, the mocks are kind of
tough
to speak
to. No, where are you going
to
draft him?
Me?
I don't care where he's going in the mocks.
I'd like to see him. If he could fall to me in the – I think I could stomach a fifth-round, fourth-round pick on him.
Mm.
Really,
Sean,
do.
What do you think about that?
Well, that would be a little high for me. I was thinking – you know, sixth round might sound like a decent price for him, but he probably won't be there given the scarcity of running backs. But, yeah, I mean, fourth round, I mean, I can see it's possible, but it probably won't be me.
This player is the Eric Decker of running backs, and I would take him in the seventh round.
Yeah, so I feel
Eric Decker.
36th ranked right now in consensus. So he's a 36th ranked running back at a site where I believe you've got a decent consensus of experts. So assuming four backs in round one, round two, that's 4, 8, 12, 16, 20. So four is early, but I'm thinking fifth as my first running back because I'm going wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver.
I could not agree more, Bobby. That's the way the league's going. I think that's going to be more and more the strategy as we go on. We're going to be just like the NFL GMs. If they can find running backs anywhere, why can't we?
Fantasy Tactics by the KFFSC. Folks, you had us here on our kickoff show doing the NFC. Farrell giving me the grief because he wanted to do the AFC tonight. I wouldn't let him do it. He wants to do his beloved Raiders, who are on the rise for sure. Farrell, Sean, great show tonight. Can't wait for next Tuesday. Farrell, say goodbye to our listeners, and we'll tune in next Tuesday, buddy.
Goodbye, listeners. Prepare to get in touch with us. We appreciate Sean. We appreciate Bobby. Get in touch with us. Let's talk fantasy football. Nail down your plans for August in Southern Indiana at the KFFSC. It'll be the best time you ever had.
Join that league and fly with us to Vegas. It's a ball.
Ready, set, hike!
Do-do-do-do.
Hello.
Wow. Ryan Matt, sixth round. Looking at that. Sixth round. I don't know. I got to ask some people I like, I believe.